Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of salvation by which we can be saved through accepting the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ upon the cross. Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. This week was a little different for me. I was reminded that there are different areas of life, and they each have a very different reality. It reminded me of what the Chancellor of Germany said. His name was Otto von Bismarck in about the 1880s. He used the term Realpolitik, and since that time, this term has been used many times by many politicians. And the idea of this term included that they would get what they wanted by using raw power or force, presumably to get something that would be good for their political base, and no doubt also something good for that politician and his boss. This concept of the use of force was well understood at that time, and it is well understood today. We, as Christ followers, try to understand our position in the world since we are told, like in John chapter 17, that we are to be in the world but not of the world. And there are times when we struggle to understand this concept. As we go through life, dealing with people and situations, sometimes it's not so easy, but we have to stay aware of people like that guy, Otto von Bismarck, who practiced Realpolitik. Yes, force, even brutal force. While we practice God's law, which is the law of love. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? Nope. Our society helps us to learn these different lessons. Our family helps us to learn these different lessons, and our churches help us to learn these different lessons. But with the breakdown of traditional family and of societal institutions, sometimes the youngsters do not learn this lesson well enough. And then our society uses another means to teach. It uses the force of government, which includes police, courts, and prisons. And let me draw a parallel lesson here to say that, I think everybody would rather be sent to a physical government prison than they would be sent to God's prison, which is hell. And thankfully, we are on earth, and we can all change our mindset and our behavior. So keep in mind also that it is written that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, yes, we all deserve hell, and that means we all need God's grace and forgiveness as we decide never to do that sin again. Nope, don't do it. Don't even think about it. That's God's standard. And don't dwell on anything that opposes God's will. As I understand it, God's standard for us is that each of us needs God's grace and forgiveness. So ask for His forgiveness and decide never to do that thing again. His standard, that is, by His standard, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. So don't be surprised if you find a person, whoever they are, a person, a priest, a prisoner, who does sin. After all, it does say all who have sinned, all have sinned. But you, be wise and do not allow a person an easy opportunity to sin against you or to sin against the innocent. Think about the many ways that you can practice wisdom. so that neither you nor those around you get hurt, especially the young and the innocent. I'm thinking about these lines of thought because last week, on two different occasions, while I was in a public place having a Christian meeting, four men, each one of them independently, so twice, two different times with two different men, and each of those people came into the meeting separately. So it was kind of just wow that four different men, all separate, came to these two meetings. These men were Christ followers. They had been Christian for between 8 and 25 years. And, well, let's see. I started off this broadcast with talking about real politic, and that included the concept of using real force. Now, each of these four men knew about real force because of their background. Three out of four of those men talked about the violence in their previous life before their life was a walk with Christ. It was one of those interesting surprises. The oldest man among who I talked with, he said matter-of-factly that it had been 32 years since he had shot anyone. And apparently, shooting someone was why he went to prison. But separately, there was someone else there, and it was kind of easy to pick up what they were talking about. You just had to listen, and people have things to say if you listen. And one of the things that other fellow talked about was how he used to get people to spill their guts to talk about what they didn't want to tell you. Oh, boy. And he said, well, you start with the fingers, and then you just keep breaking bones until they tell you what you want to know. That was one of the ways that he got people to talk. Another way was, he used to have a terrarium, he said, with rattlesnakes in it, and that victim's arm or head would be put closer and closer to that rattling snake until that person talked. And I thought, wow, I grew up very innocent. In fact, I still am. Just to think of these things actually happening. But I think it's a part of what we have to be aware of is in our world. I talked about real politic because it was real force. And that's what I had with these meetings, just having little conversations with these fellows. So, yeah, I've heard other stories too, but these were right here, right now. And I know intellectually that there's people like this in the world and that there is this kind of evil. I just didn't know I was going to get talked to about it. So it's so very important for our life experience that we realize this is a part of the world we live in. Maybe we all need a little reminder from time to time that there is real evil in the world. And that, don't forget that this is why we want to have a righteous presence of Jesus living in us and living in the world. That's what we want. I know that these things go back a long ways. It's a human thing. Human history has always been full of evil, but we want to have righteousness living within us. So, last week, I got this little bit of, a view of the evil that is still in this world. And it's not something I want anything to do with. And I know the opposite of evil is good. It's God. It's Jesus. And so, once upon a time in my life, I got a realization of what evil was, and how I wanted nothing to do with it. So I moved towards Jesus. So that was good. From time to time in life, we do hear these stories. We hear the stories about bad people turning to the good lifestyle of Jesus. But every so often, we hear the opposite. And I have one of those stories that I heard about also. This was about 35 years ago. It happened like this. I knew a fellow who worked a couple of buildings down from where I did. And he seemed just fine. He didn't seem to have any problems. And he looked like a good guy with squeaky clean looks. And the Hell's Angels befriended him. And they took him in and they made him a part of their organization. And he would do favors for them by acting as a front man, because he could fit in where those Hell's Angels could not. Well, they valued his services, and in return for him doing favors for them, they got him a ready supply of, well, girls, alcohol, and drugs. And I never heard what happened to him after that time. But it's never good when you run with the devil. It can't be good. But it's a little story to show that it's not just the good. I'm sorry. It's not just the bad who turn to the good. Sometimes someone who's just all right turns to the bad side of things too. Well, I urge everyone to make the right choice and to choose Jesus, and to let your life completely reflect your choice. It's a choice, and you choose to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And I hope you realize how important it is to be a part of a godly community. And then you personally, you see that you stay away from anything that is not of God. So that makes me think of the biblical lesson here about Achan. He was in the book of Joshua chapter 7. I shouldn't say was, he is there. Joshua chapter 7 talks about Achan. And this took place at the time when the early Hebrews were driving out the inhabitants of the land of milk and honey, which today is called the Holy Land. Plenty of times I have heard people say that they just could not understand how anyone, not even God, could drive the inhabitants out of any land, or how God could tell the Hebrews, in those few cases, to slay those inhabitants. Well, for a long time, I didn't understand either. And then I found myself looking into it, and I tried to understand how that could be. And I did find out an answer, which was because those tribes that had to be eliminated had mixed various DNA together. It was the DNA of humans and giants and animals, all mixed up. And they had to do this because it was an abomination to God to mix species. And that also made it so that human DNA did not get contaminated to the point of a part human would be unredeemable. Well, they're all thoughts, and it's not like it's spelled out anywhere where I can point to you, say, this says that. But you do get to piece things together. You can look at the ancient books. They describe something like this. And they describe, for instance, an ancient person who would be what they called a man of renown, that would be both that would have both fallen DNA, fallen angel DNA, and human DNA in their makeup. So they might be half of one and half of the other, or they might be three quarters of one and one quarter of the other. Those books did talk about it in those terms, and that's the best thing that I can figure on as to why such a thing could have happened. But it's pretty hard to look back that far in time and prove something. That's really hard. Well, I keep getting off topic. Achan, in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. So, that book is about staying holy and obedient to God. That's what I see. And at that time, God gave the Hebrew people victory after victory in battle because they were obedient. But then Achan disobeyed. He disobeyed in his heart, in his mind, and in it with his hands. He disobeyed God's will, and he disobeyed the instructions to the Hebrew people by taking for himself and hiding in his tent a very fine Babylonian robe, plus gold, plus silver. So Achan did this, and because of that, when a small battle occurred, it was just a remarkable thing that 36 Hebrew men died. When before this, I just don't remember any Hebrew men dying in battle. So, upon hearing the report of these men dying, Joshua prayed to God, and Joshua was told to examine, or should I say question, each family. And he did. And finally it was discovered that a member of one family, which was Achan, had disobeyed and stolen. Then Achan confessed, but still a punishment had to occur, and Achan was stoned to death. So Achan did tell the truth, but he still had to pay his penalty. That is kind of like modern law, where if you break a law, you have consequences. So that's the story of Achan in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. That is about the consequences of sin when someone disobeys God's will. So let us remember that there's also a reward for obeying God's will. And that is, you get to go to a place that is called heaven. And heaven is such a great reward. It's a wonderful place. We want to value that and do God's will. There's so many different lessons that we can learn from reading the Bible. And the Bible is a good book. So read it! Ha! Yeah, read the Bible. The Bible gives us examples of what to do and what not to do in life. And it helps us to know God's character and how to better please Him, He who we love, God. And it tells us about human relationships too, both the trouble parts and the blessing parts. Yeah, the Bible has lots of lessons. And some of the lessons I see are about being prepared. That's just, we all see different things when we read. That's one of the things I see, that we can use what we have in storage, and we can share what we have in storage at the right time. We give to people. So that's my historical perspective. It continues on to say that we ought to have supplies of food to stay alive during difficult times. So that's what I see. What if things fall apart? Well, we do want to have a place to go, and we want to have food to eat. And there's lots of people who say, oh, I'll just bug out and go live off the land. Well, I'll tell you, camping is good in the good weather. But what will you do in the rain and the snow? I'm not so big a fan on bugging out. Well, if the situation gets so bad that you would consider bugging out, I'm pretty sure that the stores won't be having any extra food where you're going. And then, when you return to your house, do you expect your house to be normal? Now, if things are that bad that you think you have to bug out, you're probably going to return to a home that has nothing of value in it. So you consider those things if that's what your thoughts are. Just thoughts, a lot of thoughts going on. Do we really know the answers? No, we don't. But I think it's good to consider many different ideas. Now, if you're like most people, you're not sure what to do to begin your preparations for that just-in-case event. So maybe you should do exactly what you've been told to do. Yeah, we know how good you are at doing what you're told, just like I am. Not so good at it. But when we think about things and we try to figure out what makes sense to do, what could happen and what we should do about it, well, we get to decide things for ourselves, and the results seems to be better when we think for our own self instead of being told what to do. But I do think about other people who say things because they're thoughtful people and they have ideas and I like to listen. I like to consider what we should think about, what we should spend, and how we should do things. And you know, I am giving a preparedness talk on October 20th. I have no idea if I will be giving another talk, so if you want some ideas, please come on over to the Paradise Performing Arts Center on October 20th. It's starts between 5:30 and 6, or really it's 6. It is a free event, and I'm going to give you some of the thoughts about this. Oh, and later on at the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you some more. But back to the other part. God did not tell me exactly what to prepare for. All I know is the events in my life, I've had some things go wrong, and so I've learned to deal with things, learned how to improvise, and what kind of things are good to have on hand. And that I will be talking about on that date. I also know that surprises happen. They are surprises. We don't have any idea that such and such thing would happen, but it did. So, to get through times of trouble easier, I think we should have some preparations, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. So, I know there's people who have all sorts of thoughts. A lot of them I certainly cannot agree with. There have been warnings going on for years, and I just think these people don't see it right. But you hear about the warnings, and they just don't make sense to me. But I do think something is going on with a deep undercurrent. And so here we are in the United States and wondering what would happen. How would anything affect us? And I always know that there's a possibility of war and terrorism coming to our land. And we have a situation in the Middle East now. Part of it's Syria. But there are potential things that could draw us into conflicts as a nation. We have China and Russia also who are getting quite aggravated with the United States. So they're just possibilities all over the place. And even though we seem to have resolved any problem with North Korea, it still is something that is an unknown. North Korea still has two satellites which pass over the United States every day, and nobody tells us what is on those two satellites. Nobody tells us what they are for. For all we know, there is an EMP weapon on one of them. That's just a guess, but I don't think it's an unreasonable guess. So, when you don't know, you just don't know. And that's a part of why it is a good idea to think of emergency preparations. Because, like I said, don't know means don't know. And if something is in 5 minutes, 5 weeks, 5 years, again, we just don't know. I do listen to people who analyze the problems. I analyze what they say. Sometimes I very much disagree with people, but I still listen because I like to hear what kind of things are being talked about. So we get all sorts of misinformation and real information, and somehow we get to kind of figure it out, sort it out, try to make sense of things in our world. Sometimes I think about prophecy also. Now, most people who talk about prophecy, I quickly turn off on the television or the radio. But I still think there is an element that we can kind of pay attention to, because there are people in the past who have, they don't call themselves prophets, but they say they have had a prophetic dream or vision. So I kind of listen, and I kind of remember, and I kind of consider the kind of things they're talking about. And in the last couple of months, I've heard again people like Henry Groover and Chuck Youngrant and Dimitri Dudeman and David Wilkerson. And for some reason, they just came into my attention. So it got me thinking again about what is going on in the United States and what kind of big thing could happen. Could we have consequences? Sure we could. Like I said, there's things that are going on, and I don't mean I know them. I certainly do not have a time frame for any of it. But it makes me wonder, and so I'm wondering aloud to you. No, we can't say we don't know the timing of anything. It's just that we see that there are questions going around. And if you have an answer, maybe you have fasted and prayed about this. And if you have, then certainly talk to me about it. I'm interested. But for all the things that might go on, I just have to remind you, do not be afraid, because each of us was put here for a time such as this. God knew what was going to happen, and He knew that we would be the right people at the right time. So we are here, chosen for this time. We do try to understand God's will and the things that are lining up with Bible prophecy, for instance. And we want to do things in accordance with God and the Bible, and that means to love God and love your neighbor. Those are important basics. So we always have this question, what's coming our way, no matter what it is? We think about it for all aspects of life. But we do see some peculiar events taking place around the world. There are things that we just really could not have imagined a few months ago. They happen in our country. They happen around the world. Some of them are natural disasters, and some of them we just don't understand. We've seen whales going up rivers, or whales beaching themselves. And at numerous beaches around the world, there have been thousands of fish that beach themselves and die. There are rivers that are turning red. That's on every continent. Now, sometimes there are scientists that explain how this could have happened. Well, whether they can explain it or not, it could be a biblical event nevertheless. So, in the last year and a half, there have been rivers that have turned red on every continent of the world. There's unusual things going on, unusual weather events, unusual geological events. Oh, like in the U.S., around the world, too, there are large cracks in the earth, miles long. We just don't understand it. There are the hot springs at Yellowstone that are becoming more active. And in that area of the United States, well, in St. Louis, there's the Mississippi River. And south of St. Louis, the river is disappearing. Not completely, but its flow is lessening. And we just don't know the answer to why that is. There's people who wonder if that's why the New Madrid Fault is absorbing the water. It's just something we don't know. And we should just look at what the possibilities are. There's lots of things. There's the weather changes going on. And the United States military and the Russian government has said that they can control the weather, or that they would by this time. There's just questions going on, and what do? We don't know things for sure, but we look at the indicators. I remember a book by Nick Begich, Dr. Nick Begich. That was about 20 years ago. He wrote his book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. And he used plenty of public documents in it. He talked about, one of the things he talked about was how frequencies that were used in military communications and submarines were disrupting the brains and the communication ability of various sea mammals. And that included whales and porpoises and other sea life. And that is perhaps a reason why we are seeing some of the sea life. Well, they act as though they're crazy, beaching themselves. So there's different sides of all these questions, and I think it's a good idea to look at the different possibilities. I think that's good for everything. We have so many things that are around us, questions, and we only get one side of the argument, for or against. I think vaccines are one of those things. Vaccines, we always hear they're safe and effective, but there's another side to that too. Do we know what's really in the vaccinations? Well, I've looked. It doesn't sound so good to me, and there is a theory that the vaccinations are what is breaking down the blood-brain barrier and causing troubles, including autoimmune disorders. Some people even say a part of that is autism. Again, there's no clear answers. If they were, we would have the answers. But there's not. There's just two sides of an argument. But I think it's good to consider what things could mean, because there's two forces in the world. There is good and there is evil, and there is a battle. There's a battle going on. We have an enemy that wants to destroy our mind, our body, and our soul. I think it's the other way around, body, soul, and mind. So that enemy is a real enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy us in any way that he can. He and his agents are our enemies. So that's what evil does, and the opposite of evil is good, and I hope that we each embrace goodness. That's God and Jesus Christ to live in us. We want his presence in us, and we want to throw out every thought and every action which is not of God. And that is how we can make the world a better place, by choosing God and allowing the goodness of God to live in us, and then act in that way also. Yeah. act with the goodness of God. Might be a challenge, but we can do it. The world, we are an active part of everything that's going on in the world. And if we are not that active part, that allows evil to flourish. Or even if it's not evil, it can be not good. And if it's not good, it's not good. So just pay attention to what your idea is of how you can live with goodness, the goodness of God. Well, I was listening to Hal Lindsey last month, and he was talking about earthquakes. He was talking about super earthquakes, and he did a good job of explaining it because I could watch him on the television screen, and he explained it very well. But I don't have a television screen, so I'm going to try to simplify what he talked about. It was interesting to find out that the number of earthquakes that were 8.5 and over on the Richter scale in the last 500 years, between 1500 and 2000 AD, the scientists estimate that there were about 30 of those large earthquakes in 500 years. And that makes one every 16 years on average. And then he looked at the years between 2000 and 2018. And for those years, there were 6 earthquakes over 8.5, and so the average of that is one every 3 years. And that's quite a difference. From one every 16 years to one every 3 years. So, are earthquakes intensifying? It sure looks like it. There's another part to that, what he said, and that was the recent earthquakes have had a great range of depths, and that they would range between 4 miles and 380 miles in depth. So doesn't that just make you think that the crust of the earth is getting increasingly unstable? So an earthquake could happen just any time. That's what it sounds to me like. Yikes. Of course, I think of the earthquake faults in our neighborhood. I think of the Cascadia subduction zone, which is off the coast of California and Oregon and Washington and British Columbia. It's a very long fault line. Of course, I think back to my own experience with the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. I was in that. I felt the earth shake, and I saw on the news where the freeways had collapsed and homes were wrecked. It was very destructive. But here's what I remember about that earthquake. I remember the shaking. The shaking was very distinctive. And as it got to the end of that shaking, I thought to myself, ooh, this had better stop real quick, or there would be some real serious damage everywhere. And then later on, I found out that that earthquake lasted only 15 seconds. 15 seconds of shaking. And now I've heard about the Cascadia earthquake, and what is predicted with that is that it would last about 4 minutes. Ha! What a difference! 15 seconds versus about 4 minutes. Most of the estimates say between 4 and 5 minutes. So what a lot of shaking that would be. It would send shockwaves hundreds of miles away. It would affect people's lives living hundreds of miles away. And who knows how great the damage could be to dams, to water supply main lines, to sewers, to electrical lines. And also there's the roads and the highways and the bridges. Who knows what would be broken? Cascadia is just such a huge, huge potential problem. When it happens, and it is, they say, due about this time based on historical, what do they call that? The times that the earthquakes have been, the spacing of time. So Cascadia could happen again anytime. There's scientists who say that the different fault lines across the United States are connected, and that the Cascadia fault could be connected to the New Madrid fault. So if one goes, the other could shake also. And of course, there's the San Andreas fault we are all familiar with. So things are connected. How connected are they? I'm not sure. But I pay attention to what people say. And there are people who talk more about this, and they point to the volcanoes that are around the Ring of Fire. They're going off right now. And this could mean something serious would happen for us. Serious, serious. And there's always something we can do to get prepared. Now, preparation is different for each one of us, but we should realize that these things can happen. They do happen. It's just that we haven't had our turn yet. Disasters happen. And what would our concerns be if we did have that huge earthquake? Well, we would be in a place where there would be no meaningful resupply for quite some time. There would be no resupply of gasoline or of groceries. I think it would take weeks to get things back into anything resembling normal. That's what it happened with the Hurricane Katrina also. It took weeks. It took weeks. I think the emergency responders, they said that everybody needed to have 6 to 8 weeks of supplies. So maybe that's the way that we should be thinking, instead of what FEMA is recommending, 3 days of food and water. I don't know. It's hard to imagine life without gasoline or groceries for weeks. But I think we could all pay attention to it, because it just might be. And yes, there will be helicopters working, no doubt about it. There will be emergency or military helicopters. Now, if they're just using the regular helicopters that we see all the time, like the medical helicopters or the police helicopters, they can only carry so much. I don't think they could even carry 500 pounds, including passengers. They just don't have that much capacity to deliver supplies or to take hurting or broken people to a hospital. It's just something to consider here. And also to remember that if there is some large earthquake somewhere, there are going to be large, large aftershocks. And aftershocks can continue for months. Or with a great big earthquake like Cascadia, the aftershocks can continue for years. The aftershocks are not quite as big, but they're still huge. So, I think it's important to remember, earthquakes can happen any time. And yes, I think that Cascadia continental subduction zone is a great big issue. It is on the Ring of Fire. We live on that Ring of Fire here in California, but it extends all around the Pacific Ocean from Asia to South America, and we're kind of in the middle of that. The earthquake experts tell us that the Hayward Fault is just ready to go anytime. The experts also tell us that the Southern and San Andreas Fault is ready to go anytime. And more people are saying lately that the Southern San Andreas Fault could get to be a major earthquake of 8.5 or larger, even though at one point we did not expect it would be that large. I just say, there's a lot of things that could be, and I think we should get a little bit ready for things. The Bible tells us earthquakes are going to happen. It just doesn't tell us when. It doesn't give us dates. And so we have to make sense of things by ourselves. So, knowing things could happen, what are we supposed to do? Well, I know there's people who say there's nothing we can do. We just have to live and God will protect us. Don't worry, be happy. God will protect us. Well, that's the attitude for some. But I also know that all throughout history, people have done better when they have gotten prepared for some surprise or another. And I know we read in the book of Revelation in chapter 16 that there is going to be the world's greatest earthquake, that it will happen at some point. And again, it doesn't say when. We don't have a year. We don't have anything to say when it will be. All we know is there's going to be some huge earthquake. So, knowing there's going to be one, from a biblical point of view, knowing there's going to be one from a worldly point of view, I just think it makes sense to be prepared. I really do. And that's what I'm talking about. Be prepared. Don't be scared. Scared doesn't help anything. Scarediness and fear is, well, it just doesn't help a thing. But a practical examination of what can happen and what we should do to prepare for some kind of a just-in-case event, well, that's different. I think that's a good thing to do. So you can figure it out. Figure things out from your own point of view. I think that's always the best, to look at the different possibilities, and then you decide what it makes sense for you to do. Ask yourself, what kind of things will you need? What what would you like to share with other people who are in need? It's not like there's one answer. There's lots of answers, but it's for you to examine and for you to figure out. So that's one of those things I'm concerned about, natural disasters. They always concern me. I know we have them, and they're going on around the world. And I think, shouldn't we just get a little bit prepared? Yes, we should. Ha! That's what I think. I'm also concerned about our money systems, currency systems. We have currency all around the world, and it trades within those certain institutions. But what has been happening is these days, the central banks all around the world are increasing their money supply. They're printing money, or it could be digital printing, but they're making more money available for their people to spend. It does make things go easier, but it also causes inflation. And we just have to be careful. It's almost like they're setting us up for a fall. And that's one of the things I have talked about recently, which is the 1929 crash and how money was made available, widely available, in the 1920s. So that after the crash, there was that Great Depression, and it caused hardship all across the country. It was a big issue, big, big issue. So I look at these things as going on with the world's central banks and how they are creating money, how it causes inflation. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I think eventually it causes problems which will have to be solved And I'm afraid that there will be some kind of a crash just like there was in 1929. I don't know, but I know there's certain things we need to live, and food is one of them. I think of just basic food. I certainly don't think of the expensive food. I just think of getting along. There are many different approaches to what our concerns ought to be. And you only know what to do if you look. And so that's what I urge everyone to do. Look. Examine what kind of things can happen and what you should do about it. I know I have this little free personal preparedness pamphlet. I give those out when people send me an envelope. But the other thing I'm doing is I'm having a free personal preparedness presentation. And that's going to be October 20th at the Paradise Performing Arts Center. And I hope you can come. Come at 5:30. It's going to start at 6 to 8. And some people are very interested. And I hope you come along and be there. I know everyone in Paradise knows where that is, the Paradise Performing Arts Center. But if you're coming from Chico, what you do is you go up Skyway and you turn right on Pearson, and after a mile, go left on Clark, and then have a quick left at the next signal, which is Nunley, and it's on your right. It's a beautiful auditorium, and it seats 700 people. It is a free event, so please come on by. It's sponsored by the Paradise Business and Professional Lions and the Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX. And I do thank the Paradise Business and Professional Lions and other Lions clubs for making this possible. The Lions do good works in many different communities in our nation and even in the world. So I think we all want to be a part of our community and be helpful. So if that's you, by all means, think about just being a decent person. You might want to join the local Lions Service Club, or you might want to do something through your local church. Churches are always good. I urge that. There are plenty of opportunities to see how to serve others, and I hope you look, because that's a part of our gratification of what we're supposed to do. Have compassion for your neighbor. Have compassion for your community. And to me, I say this again, a part of what I see is getting provisions and food so that we can be helpful when and if there is a time of need. Now, I will talk about the different ideas for provisions at my preparedness, a personal preparedness talk. And there are different people with different thoughts on what to do and how to do it. So I'll kind of discuss that. I do think it's good to be a part of a group, whatever that group is, as a neighborhood, as a church, or even as a service organization. We can figure out how to prepare and how to have compassion for our neighbors. I always think of my theme, which is think, plan, and do. Because that's how we get things done, to think, to plan, and we do. And then we get things done more effectively. When we try to figure out when anything will happen, now that's another question. I don't think we have those answers. And that's why I say just be prepared. Get prepared and have your personal preparedness all in line. And if you want to, come to that Paradise Performing Arts Center. Again, Saturday, October 20th. Come at 5:30 for the 6 to 8 o'clock presentation. It's a comfortable place. It's really a wonderful place to be. Lovely. And I hope you can come by. I should say that you can always listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today. And you can do this by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. www.christtoday.org. There's a lot of different broadcasts that I have done, and they all talk about different things. So if you touch on one, you can see if it interests you or if it does not, and you can go to another because there's lots of them. And I do have my favorites, but that's for another day. So if you have questions that you would like me to answer at that preparedness event, you can write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I will be answering questions, I like them in writing because then I can fit them into what I'm saying. But you can also ask questions at that event. There will be a time for questions. If you want to email me, that's fine. It's at, not email, but it's the computer. It's www.prepareforgod@usa.com. And that's all lowercase with no spaces. www.prepareforgod@usa.com. And I invite you to ask me questions that I can put into my speaking. And that way you can have answers to the things that you want to know about. Well, that's it for the day, and until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Thank you for listening today, and I hope to see you at that preparedness event, October 20th, 5:30 or 6, come then, until 8 o'clock. Yes, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.